Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Winter is Coming Game of Thrones podcast. We are Take the Black, and we're here to talk about some exciting filming news. Before we get into that, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball. That's right, something I thought we would never talk about on a Game of Thrones podcast. Major League Baseball. Guess what's going to happen here? HBO and Game of Thrones is going to be partnering up with MLB, and they're going to be advertising for Season 7 of Game of Thrones. Guys, I'm going to start with Corey Thone because he and I used to have a sports podcast. Thone, how do you feel about this?
Oh, man, I just do not give a shit about baseball.
not at all.
I have a hard time caring about, like, the college that I root for as a baseball team, even though they're really good. Like, Major League Baseball has got this issue. It's a polar opposite issue that Game of Thrones has. Game of Thrones needs to have a longer season, right?
Right.
Major League Baseball needs to cut their season in half. It is absurd. Well, it's a sport. First off, it's organized rest. It's just go stand right there and then stand there. And then secondly, it's the only sport I can think of where you can fail at something 70% of the time and be a Hall of Famer. Well, I bet 300. But that means you missed 700. I don't understand how you're in the Hall of Fame. It's a sport that has 175,000 regular season games. The season runs from April to April, and it's the whole game. It's fine. Baseball's fun to watch in person, drink some beer, hang out with friends, but it's down there with golf in terms of watching it on TV. I'm good.
I will say this, man. At least we can share a little bit of the angst of MLB fans, like Chicago Cubs. They had to wait over 100 years to win a pennant. We had to wait how many years for a book 7? So there you go. We're all in the same boat.
I'm not a Cubs fan.
Me either.
First of all, baseball is freaking awesome. Second of all,
I knew it.
Okay, seriously, the only good thing about baseball, the beginning of baseball season, is that we're that much closer to the end of baseball season. Period.
there is no end to baseball season. Spring training starts right after the World Series.
And I'd like to speak up for golf on TV because started. If you're someone who lives in the city and you don't get to see a lot of green, golf provides that. Baseball does not.
The only thing I'll say in defense of this is they, you know, if they were going to partner with a major sport, it's the only one they really had a choice to do. Football doesn't run the same time as the season does, hopefully not this year. and then, I mean, basketball's over in June, right? I mean, like, the first couple weeks of June, which, again, hopefully, you know, that doesn't seem like where we're going to land as far as season 7. I mean, maybe if they chose a different season, you know, the past seasons could have overlapped with some of the other sports, but I mean, baseball is the only one they could do.
Well, so, you know, here's what I'm afraid of, and Isis, I want to hear your thoughts on this really quick because you're my Star Wars connection on this podcast, even more so than Corey Smith. But let me point this at your direction. I'm afraid what's going to happen is they're going to hold that season 7 trailer for some really stupid MLB game that we all have to watch half the game just to get.
Oh, God, I hate
trailer.
You.
I agree. Are you? I completely agree that that's probably going to happen. And what I will do is I will wait until Twitter has it, and then I will watch it there. There's no way you're getting me to watch a baseball game. It's just not going
to
happen.
I swear to God, no way.
There's just no way. And you know what? It'll probably be like midday when people are actually at work. When they do it.
Because that's when all the baseball games are on.
Exactly.
Midday, right?
Exactly. They will do it like at, you know, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon in some meaningless game or something like that and be like, boom, there you go. And everybody's like left scratching their head like, what the fuck just happened here? You know, is this new? Is this real life? What the hell? And so you know, I don't, and I would think they would do it just to hype it up, to say, hey, if you watch, you know, an MLB game that means nothing in the middle of the day, you might see something from Game of Thrones. I mean, I guarantee that's going to happen.
What I want to hear is Joe Buck. Everybody, if you're a sports fan, you know who Joe Buck is. I want to hear Joe Buck stammer through an introduction to Game of Thrones Season 7.
Watch out for those White Walkers. The
Watch out.
Season 7's right around the corner. One of those like pop-up ads that's like on the bottom of the screen, like the lower third. And it's like... Watch out for those White Walkers this Sunday on HBO.
Tonight on HBO, Targaryen comes back to the Westerworld.
Oh my God!
That's what it's gonna be like.
I mean, also the fact of the matter is that this is the other thing. This is what really gets me, right? Game of Thrones is an international thing. An enormous amount of the fan base is based in the UK and Europe. They don't watch baseball. That's that whack American crap. Like, like, why didn't they pair with football? But not that football, that football. You know what football?
Football.
Yes. Football. Why didn't they pair with that? That's under that. That would make so much more sense to me to have it paired with footy than it would to be with baseball. Like the baseball thing is so like anathema to the world of Game of Thrones. Like it's apple pie and ice cream and happiness and Americanism and rah 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 and little flags, right? Like no, this is not.
Listen,
no.
There's a reason that little boys are told to think about baseball when they're trying not to think about us. It is the boner killer. All right, so
went too far.
But moving on, there's never a line on this podcast. Moving on, speaking about Season 7, Liam Cunningham had a funny joke, and Annie, you wrote this up today, so I'll let you take it away, but it had to do with Blazing Saddles, so there's a great connection there. What did he talk about with the premiere of Game of Thrones Season 7?
Okay, so first off, about a week ago, he did an interview with the Irish Independent in which he said, you know, it's really, you know, I feel bad for the fans, usually come back in April, but this year it's probably going to be in, like, July, I think, right? And, of course, everyone, excuse us, because we don't actually know that it's coming back in July. Like, the only thing we know about this is that it's not going to be eligible for the 2017 Emmys. So June 1st on is fair game, right? So for all we knew, they were going to do, you know, they were going to premiere, like, what, June 4th, which is the first weekend? So here's Liam Cunningham basically confirming what most, like, HBO watchers kind of assumed, which is that Game of Thrones would move into the True Detective slot and start in mid-July. And with a seven-week run, that would end right at Labor Day and be a perfect fit, right? And here we, basically here, we thought we had confirmation. And of course, Liam Cunningham, I honestly think he meant that. I honestly think that's what's happening. But, you know, the overlords are not happy with him. So today he tweeted out, or maybe it was yesterday, he tweeted out a message that said, I don't actually know when it's starting. And then he quoted Blazing Saddles, Mongo only pawn in Game of Thrones.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's just. Well, I think he's just trying to cover his ass. I think
it really is. I think that this is the proof that we were waiting for.
Yeah.
It really is coming in the True Detective slot, as we suspected from the beginning when they said it was going to come back later in the year. I mean, it just makes sense with 7 weeks ending at Labor Day. Just makes a lot of sense for an American audience, and it makes sense across the pond because they have their own version of that. They have a bank holiday at about the same time. It's not called Labor Day in the same way, but it's a bank holiday. So it basically works out to the same kind of schedule.
You also don't have any holidays you have to take off time for. Like in the past, they've taken off for like, what, Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever.
Memorial Day.
They've taken off time for that. And it's like, oh, God damn it. I got to wait another week before Game of Thrones. But they don't have to do that this season, so that's good.
Yeah, and if they start mid-July, they pretty much miss July 4th, they miss Bastille Day, and then they go straight until Labor Day / bank holidays.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he would know at this point because they're starting to finalize promotional schedules and when they need them here and all that kind of stuff. So he would have been told, you know, when the date would be.
Yeah, I mean, he's not coming to South by Southwest. That's Benioff and Weiss and Maisie Williams and Sophie Turner. But, you know, I'm pretty sure at this point they have a good idea of what the schedule is. And I don't think he was spitballing. I think he knows.
No, I don't think so either. I think that's going to be inaccurate, that it's going to be July.
Well, speaking of waiting on things, let's go ahead and get this out of the way because...
Hey, can I say something really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know... I saw some people on Facebook and Twitter complaining about, you know, him trying to walk back his comments about it. And I was just like, you know what? I mean, the guy's trying to keep his job. You know, he may have said something that he wasn't supposed to. But I almost want to go all Ian McShane on people and say, you know, get a fucking life. Chill
out. Get out more.
Game of Thrones will come on when they say it will. It's not going to change whether or not, you know, someone leaked the information or whatever. I mean, this shit is already set in stone. So
yeah, no, the first picture with the first still will come out on a Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon, just like it always has. You know, we just don't know which Tuesday, probably the one where I'm sitting in the hairdresser's, because that's how it worked out all during season 6. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
I remember.
I was like, are they consulting my stylist? What is going on here? But it's, you know, there is no point in freaking out or getting mad, you know. But I do think that we should point out that Maisie Williams, you know, because I mentioned her from South by Southwest, she actually just finished filming. So, you know, they're still doing filming, right?
That was just last week as well.
Yeah, she literally just finished, and she finished up in Canada.
That was a great segue, by the way, Annie. I'm going to give you a fist bump on that one. So let's talk about Maisie Williams and what she was doing in Canada. She was at a national park there, and most of her Instagram photos have her taking pictures of the ski slopes and in front of Canadian maple leaves and all that kind of stuff, doing the Canadian thing. But
she didn't see the Prime Minister, though. If she'd taken pictures with the Prime Minister, I'd have been really impressed.
There you go. Well, she is going to probably be the next Prime Minister, so everybody loves her that much. She's always there. So, but what we're going to talk about now is she was at a national park there in Banff, Alberta, and the assumption was because there is Quigley the Wolf, who plays Ghost the Dire Wolf in the show, is trained by a group called, Spirit Animals for Film or something like that. And they posted to their Instagram account photos of Quigley, who plays Ghost. It says, ready to work. And then they posted another picture, and this is going to be spoiler territory for you guys out there, so this is your time to turn around if you want to. So 3, 2, 1, your spoilers are coming. But they posted another photo of a completely different wolf that had similar qualities to, say, a Nymeria-type wolf. And it said, hashtag winter is coming. Everybody went nuts. Everybody went crazy. Put two and two together. Maisie Williams is there. Spirit Animals for Film is there. They're going to film scenes with direwolves. That means Nymeria is coming back. If you're not familiar with who Nymeria is, she's Arya Stark's direwolf that she had to chase off in season 1 in the episode King's Road because she was afraid that the Lannisters would kill her because she bit Joffrey on the arm. Now, in the books, Nymeria at this point in time where the show is, Nymeria is running around, well, probably fast forward or whatever, but Nymeria is running around the Riverlands with the largest wolf pack in Westeros, and they're just destroying everything they come across. And Arya constantly has these wolf dreams, and she tastes what Nymeria eats. She smells what Nymeria smells. She experiences and sees everything through her eyes. In fact, at one point in one of Arya's dreams, she actually sees through Nymeria's eyes as she's dragging her mother out of the river after the Red Wedding. So it's one of those things.
You just couldn't resist bringing up Lady Stoneheart.
Lady Stoneheart for life. I got to say it. But anyway,
Basically, what we see in the books is that Arya can also warg.
She's very connected.
This is basically her version of warging. She, unlike Bran, who is actually trained to warg, she is basically doing an untrained version of warging with her wolf when she's asleep.
Which, by the way, Jon Snow is as well, but they never.
Yes.
Arya and Jon aren't talked about as wargs in the show. Only Bran is. But anyway,
so she's a Mary Sue, huh? Like that girl from Star Wars. Is that what she is? She just doesn't have any training. She just does stuff. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This show's feminist bullcrap has got to stop.
Sad. It's fake news.
Sad.
All right.
Fake warning.
Fake warning. Oh, my God. Yes, we worked that into the show. All right. So, so 2 and 2 got put together, and everybody thought, okay, Macy Williams is there to film scenes with Nymeria. Nymeria's coming back on the show. Now, this would be a great point for anybody who loves the Starks and their direwolves. Nymeria currently is the only living sibling of Ghost. All the other direwolves that were found in episode 1 of Game of Thrones, all those wolves are dead except for Ghost. So, on the show anyway. So, if Nymeria comes back, she'll be her. And we hope to have a reunion of Ghost and Nymeria on the show. Corey Thone, you're a big book fan like I am. You've read the books. You're very invested in them. I'm kidding. So what does this mean to you as a show watcher?
Not a damn thing.
You don't really care. Would you be happy to see the wolves
come back? I'd be very happy to see it. I just don't know what it means. And I need you to remember, too, and Isis will back me up on this, the dogs mean, or wolves, whatever, mean way less to me and Isis and other Shonleys because they really haven't been a thing much. Like, they're cool pets. It's cool because they're dire wolves, and they found them when they were puppies. And, like, we saw the backstory. I mean, but, for example, you guys got super emotional when, like, Ghost was crying at the end of season 6 or 5, whatever it was, when Jon Snow had been killed.
In the opening of season 6, yeah.
You guys were, like, really emotional about that. And I was like, yeah, the dog was sad. It's like, it's a wolf! And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't.
It's a dire wolf. Hello, it's a dire wolf.
Sure. So that being said, yeah, I mean, it would be cool to get that kind of reunion. It'd be cool for those dire wolves to become a bigger part of the show, but they truly haven't been, you know, that important to me as a character as a Shonley.
And that's one of the unfair things about where they've cut in the budget. You know, in the end, they had to decide between dragons and direwolves, and they chose dragons. I mean, the fact of the matter is that they're actually they don't even pay the money to fly the stand-in wolves to the set. All of Ghost scenes last year were basically filmed in Canada and then overlaid on what was filmed in Ireland. Okay? Like, they didn't even bother pay the money. Okay? This year, they paid the money to fly Maisie over there because it was cheaper than flying the wolves to her. But still, there's only one actor over there interacting with the wolves. Like, this is... So, most of it is ends up being CGI stand-in stuff that they use. And then they don't use it that much because they don't have that kind of budget. And it's one of the places where we've really lost part of the story because of the need to, in the end, hold to a budget after all.
Well, yeah. And I would counter with that you're right, that we're missing out on one of those fun things about the book that you just can't explain to us, me and Isis, and I'll let her chime in after this. You just can't explain to us why the wolves are so cool and important and interesting in the books because you have to read it and experience it from the beginning.
Well,
but are they actually, like, how relevant to the story is that? Like, it's a great example is Lady Stoneheart, who Razor brought up, so I guess we should talk real quick about that. That the big spoiler at this point is that she's clearly not that important to the final outcome. Right. So, and that sucks because her character is super awesome from what I understand. And just like the way she becomes a thing is super awesome. But at this point, it's obvious that she's not super like vital to the finale. So I don't know if that means the same thing for the wolves, but almost the dogs again. But I don't know. Isis, what do you think? You're a Shonley like me. Do you have more of an attachment to the wolves than I do?
The only one that I grew somewhat of an attachment to. Yes, I love Ghost. He's, you know, just because, you know, he's with my cinnamon bun. But more importantly was Bran's direwolf Summer. And I felt like, you know, seeing the capabilities that Bran had with Summer, I thought that was really, really important. I thought that direwolf death affected me more than any of the other ones. And
it was still needless, in my point of view, by the way, too.
I'm sorry?
One of the worst deaths. It was a needless death, by the way.
Okay. Well, but still in then, I just felt like, you know, we saw this capability that, you know, Summer brought to the table, and we, it just didn't seem like we would get that from all of the other ones. And you're right. You're absolutely right. That's something as a Shonli is completely lost on us about these amazing abilities of not only the characters, you know, Arya and her wolf, Nymeria, right? Correct. And
Nymeria.
Yeah. And so, and then, you know, we got glimpse of that, with Summer, with, Bran. So it's one of those situations where, you know, when you guys talk about how awesome these direwolves are and everything, I can kind of see it, but, you know, it just got lost, you know, as far as coming to, for us Shonli watchers, so.
And that's a great point that all you brought up, and like Corthone and Annie, you guys have been talking back and forth. And honestly, in Season 7, if they're going to split a budget between CGI characters, they're going to spend much more time on three full-grown dragons who are running rampant across Westeros than they are on two direwolves. And so that's kind of sad because, honestly, for book, you guys are right. For book fans, it's way more exciting for us because we know what Nymeria stands for, because in the books, it's hinted at that she has an army of her own. Like, when I say wolf pack, I'm not talking about, like, five or six wolves. She's got an army of wolves that follow her around the Riverlands, and they wipe out entire villages and farms.
People basically whisper about them in terror and horror, that there are these deadly wolves that have come down, and it's, in a way, it's almost like you want to yell at these people, no, these are not the things you should be scared of. You should be scared of the White Walkers, but what they're really scared of is the wolves. And yeah. There's a sense where you kind of wonder if that wolf pack is going to be important in the last battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a thing that we're going to get out of the show in the same way, unless we suddenly out of nowhere start seeing Arya Warg, like, I don't know, episode 1, season 7.
That would freak me out. So, Smith, what did you... I know you wanted to say something.
I just really want to say before Smith talks.
You know,
just
<fuck up. laughs> So, I think that the to me, one of the bigger things that was lost as far as the direwolves from the books to the show was that all the direwolves kind of represented the personalities of their owners. You know, Arya's is wild and running around the Riverlands just massacring people, which is kind of what Arya is doing in real life.
A strong female character.
Right. And she's by herself and she has a new wolf pack and she's not with her family and other, you know, litter mates that eventually end up dead. You know, Rickon's direwolf in the books is very angry and doesn't understand things that are going on because Rickon's a lot, you know, younger in the books, so he doesn't understand things. And then, you know, like Ghost is the only white direwolf, so he stands apart just like Jon kind of does. So to me, that was kind of the big part that the direwolves, you know, lost from show to, you know, from page to show, that they lost kind of how they represented their characters and their personalities as opposed to just, you know, actions on the page, like pulling Lady Stoneheart out of the river and things like that.
Well, while you're at it, let me ask you, do you think that the show at this point with 7 episodes with, we obviously know they're going to throw a lot of budget CGI dragons. Do you think they can afford to give us any kind of substantial story with Nymeria and Ghost or with just Nymeria and Arya?
You know, if I had to guess, I think that it's significant that they flew, not just for budgetary reasons, but that they flew Maisie Williams over to Canada, because that says the scenes they want to film with her aren't ones that they could necessarily capture with CGI. So they want Maisie to be really close with the wolf and things like that, because all the other scenes we see the wolves, they're kind of apart from the people, and you can kind of tell it's CGI.
Yeah.
That it's overlaid. And they don't really necessarily have a lot of physical interaction with the direwolves. So to me, that says they have something a little different planned for Maisie and Nymeria. You know, a little more physical interaction between the two. And then, you know, as far as I assume by the end of the series, I don't know in season 7, but by the end of the series, I do believe Nymeria's wolf pack will come in handy and will prove, you know, have some sort of point in the, you know, in the battle and the war with the White Walkers.
You would like to think so.
But yeah. Then again, I also thought Lady Stoneheart was going to have a point.
But see, we've had this discussion before with in our group chat for Winter is Coming with the other writers, and there's one writer in particular who always sides with me on Lady Stoneheart, Sarah. And Sarah and I were talking about Lady Stoneheart, and she talks about how Lady Stoneheart's story has been spread across through Arya and Sansa. So, you know, while we may not think that Lady Stoneheart she's not important to the show, obviously, she may have a much larger role in the books because they're taking her role and spreading it across Sansa and Arya on the show.
Right.
You see my point?
Yeah. And they could still do that, but I don't know. Something about the Nymeria and the wolf pack and Arya, to me, says that that'll come in handy. And you know, and there's some poetry or whatever the hell you want to call it to a large group of wolves coming to the aid, you know, against the White Walkers. You know, the Starks are the dire wolves, and they're the who we assume are going to be the primary, you know, foe of the White Walkers. So there'd be some, you know, symbolism there or whatever you want to call it, if a giant pack of wolves led by Nymeria ended up coming in and saving the day at some point.
Right. Okay, well, speaking of possible character returns, we know that we do have a confirmation finally of a Karstark joining the show. Am I correct, Annie?
Yes, Elise? Yes, we do. We had seen this picture of a redhead coming out of the trailers back when there was a big filming over in the Winterfell set. And when she was first seen, people said, oh, it's Sansa's stunt double. And then people were like, no, wait, that's not Sansa's stunt double. That is an actress on her own. She's playing a new character, but we don't know who. So since then, we have now gotten confirmation via a resume update that that actress is actually playing Alyse Karstark. We still don't know very much about what's going to happen with that. There's several theories, you know. The Karstarks, of course, sided against the Starks in the war. But it could be seen as, you know, Jon takes Karstark to be his bride in order to help bring them into the fold. It could be that Jon takes her as a hostage, like they did with Theon all those years ago. It could be that she's basically there to for her family's life. I mean, there's a lot of different theories going on of what.
I have one thought on this. What mm-hmm. if she's coming in as she's going to fulfill her book story. Well, and by that I mean she's going to marry a wildling. In the book, she marries a Thin, the Magnar Thin. But since the Thins are all dead on the show now, we know that. What if she ends up marrying Tormund? Even though we all want Brienne and Tormund to be together, obviously.
That's not going to happen.
What if we see Jon connect these two houses, the wildlings and the Karstarks?
Go ahead, Annie, because I think this is highly, highly likely. But go ahead.
You know, I honestly assumed it was more to try and get her to marry Jon, that she was being sent as a present to Jon kind of thing. And I could see Jon then marrying her to... I don't know is how that will play over with everyone else. You know, will people take that as an insult to the Karstarks that she was forced to marry a wildling? Remember, these people think wildlings are, like, you know, half-human. But right. At the same, I mean, this could be a massive political blunder for Jon if he does that. But it could also be very much what ends up happening, is that he does marry her to a wildling in order to try and bring the wildlings and North together into one army.
Yeah.
Well, but what we do know for a fact is, well, it's not much of a fact, is there was the fate of Harold Karstark, the Karstark that represented the house at the Battle of the Bastards, who was connected with Ramsay. His fate is unknown. Shown that he killed. And if you look at Game of Thrones Wiki, which is always accurate with the show, he is still left uncertain his fate. So we don't know what happened to Harold.
Okay. Well, I have a couple points. First of all, I just read the script for Battle of the Bastards, the official one from HBO. And in the script, unlike on what we see in the show, Harold leads the Bolton cavalry charge at the onset of the battle. The same one that goes for John, and you know, John's standing in front of it with his, you know, by himself. He leads that charge in the original Battle of the Bastards script. So maybe a hint there. I don't know. They can change things by the time it airs. So who knows? But that's definitely a big clue. But either way, it doesn't necessarily, a marriage between Tormund and Elise Karstark doesn't necessarily hinge on whether or not Harold is alive or dead. Because if he's alive, he could, you know, John could simply strip him of his land and titles and pass that on to Elise. As far as them getting married, I see a lot of positives for that with John. I understand before the battle of the Bastards that the Wildlings were looked upon as, you know, I mean, we heard the Umbers and the Karstarks, you know, basically giving racist comments towards the Wildlings. But you have to understand, things are different now. The Wildlings fought for the Starks. They fought against the Boltons, who nobody liked. They helped liberate Winterfell. They helped restore the Starks back to their proper, you know, place. And everybody loves the Starks. So that, I think that'll go a long way as far as placating some of that hatred. But it's lifelong hatred, and that obviously takes a while to go away. And I think a marriage between Elise and Tormund would be another good step. You know, I don't think anybody's going to necessarily raise a huge ruckus when you consider what the Karstarks just did in betraying the Starks. So,
and that's what John's aims were in the book when he married Elise to the Magnar Finn, was to smooth over the relations between the Wildlings and the people of the North. Let's join a great house. Plus, House Karstark in the books at that point in time is in turmoil, because you have one side being led by an uncle and one side being led by a son. So yeah, it's completely chaos.
And consider that the Karstark lands are in the northeast of Winterfell. They're pretty isolated. And so if you wanted to settle the Wildlings in, you know, in the north somewhere that's kind of isolated, where you're not having them necessarily bumping up with everybody all the time, it'd be a good place to kind of settle them and let them quietly integrate into northern society. As well as it keeps Tormund pretty close to the wall, because Carhold is fairly close to Eastwatch by the Sea, which, if you remember in that Reddit leak that we all, you know, discussed ad nauseum.
Oh, that's true.
John meets Tormund at Eastwatch by the Sea. So, you know, obviously Tormund could be coming from anywhere, but Carhold is fairly close to Eastwatch by the Sea, you know, as far as being close in, you know, in the north goes. So, you know, if he's settled there in the Karstark lands, it would make sense that's where he's meeting John. And if he's settled on the Karstark lands, it most likely means he's married to Elise. So,
well, now we all feel smarter. Thanks a lot, Corey Smith. This has been Maester's Corner with Corey Smith on Take the Black.
I try.
It's going to be a weekly segment.
I'm cheating. I have a spec piece coming out on Wick tomorrow that basically breaks this all down. But
oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool. All right, so we have news of filming. We have news of people returning to the show, possibly an animal, a beloved pet, or not really pet, a dire wolf. And we also have some news from George R. Martin himself talking about the basic overall series of A Song of Ice and Fire, which, you know, our beloved Game of Thrones is based on. And he has said, in a roundabout way, it could be 7 books, it could be 8 books, it could be no book. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with George R. R. Martin. And so I'm going to leave this to Annie. I know we've talked about the books before. You've written several articles on it. I'll read the exact statement to you. It says, "I don't consider A Song of Ice and Fire to be a series, not as I define the word. I consider A Song of Ice and Fire to be one single gigantic story published in multiple volumes, and in parentheses, 7, I hope." And we haven't got the 6th book yet. So what do you think that says to you, Annie?
It says that he's really not done. You know, that's basically my reaction is, oh man, dude, you are so in the weeds still. You
that
are so
is terrifying.
Painfully
it's terrifying.
In the weeds. So painfully in the weeds. This is a man who has not managed to see his way out of book six yet. He doesn't even know if he can manage to fit the rest of what he has to write into book seven once he's done with book six. This is everything every reader has feared to hear from him, is that he has lost the grip so much that he cannot even at this point say whether or not it will even be seven or eight books or more.
And yeah. if you subscribe to the Song of Ice and Fire Reddit or the Game of Thrones Reddit, they were freaking out when this came out. I mean,
because it's exactly what we don't want to hear. Because yeah. I mean, it is obvious simply from seven books. I hope. Oh, you hope. Oh, that's not good. You should not be hoping at this point. You should know.
Yeah, you should know exactly yeah, where you stand.
Exactly, and yeah, the quote I freak out too because. To me, it says he has no idea because most people, you know, they plan out a trilogy. Okay, we're going to have this, this book, this, and this book, this, and this book. Like he said, he doesn't view them in books. So for all we know, he's just going to, you know, just keep on writing until he has everything that he wants to say said, regardless of whether it fits in a certain number of books. So if he feels like he's got, you know, a bunch more to say, he'll just keep on writing. Until, you know, who the hell knows? So, yeah, it's kind of scary when you're this far along in the series and you don't know how many books it's going to be. It's
for
not like
fans,
it's the first book
fans,
he wrote.
The most terrifying thing we heard with the Dance with Dragons was the Myrnese Knot. I wonder what the new stumbling block is in this book. But
I truly believe that it's Arya.
Arya, the Arya catch 22 or something he's got to write with Arya that he just can't figure out. A lot of people have been speculating and saying, well, maybe he's trying to rewrite the book to match the show or to be better than the show, to rewrite certain scenes so it's a surprise when it happens. I don't know. I don't care. I just want the next book. But this does segue us into a nice little title. Before we wrap the show up, while we're waiting on Game of Thrones Season 7, which will probably happen in July, as we talked about earlier, and while us book readers are waiting for for the next book, which is The Winds of Winter, what show or books, if you're reading books right now or if you're watching a really good show you're into, and I'm going to go around to each panel member, what show or books would you suggest, and you can pick both if you want, for people to take up right now to help pass the time? And I'll start it off right now. Every year, I don't know why I do this, but every year I reread the Dune series. I go from Dune all the way to Chapter House Dune. I love Frank Herbert. I love the books.
You go all the way to Chapter House? Good God, man.
Oh, I went to Butte Larian Jihad one time. Jihad. So yeah, I do it all. But Dune is one of my favorite series. It's more science fiction than it is fantasy, but there's also a little bit of mysticism and magic involved. So if you're really looking for a good book series and you haven't yet read them, which I suggest that anybody who's into science fiction or fantasy reads, you have to read Dune. It's like a gateway into everything. Star Wars, all fantasy. It's kind of like The Lord of the Rings for Star Wars nerds, but it's a great book series. Get into it, read it. It's really good. And as far as shows go, man, there's so many out there. I couldn't tell you what the choice show is. I'm a big superhero nerd, so I've been watching all the DC, the Arrows, the Flash, and the Supergirls, and then of course Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who just went on hiatus. So you have to pick what works for you for shows. But as far as but what I do like to do on HBO is I like to go back and watch other seasons, like The Wire. I finished watching The Wire a few months ago. Again, I watched it all the way through, binged it with my wife because she had to be introduced to it. Deadwood's another one. So it's some great shows out there to watch and catch up on. Before it's books, if you haven't picked up Dune, check it out. Corey Smith, I'll hand this off to you.
For a book series, I have a series by an author named Naomi Novak. She writes a series called the Tamari series. And it's basically dragons exist during the Napoleonic Wars in the 1800s. And they're not magical or, you know, mystical or anything like that. They're just an animal like a horse or, a cow or something like that. And so all the countries that are fighting the Napoleonic Wars use them as kind of their air force, and they have tactics and, you know, things like that. So it's a pretty intense book series. I think there's 7 or 8. They read pretty quickly, though. I mean, they jump from continent to continent, and they meet other kinds of dragons and stuff like that. And it's pretty interesting, kind of like an alternate history, you know, type series. And it the last book just came out a couple months ago, so you can actually read the whole thing, unlike some other book series.
and what is this, the Tamarine?
Tamaree, and I'm probably butchering it because it's a very British name, and I'm not British.
I'm sure somebody will let us know in the comments.
But the author's name is Naomi Novak, so you can look her up. Peter Jackson actually had the movie rights for a while, and he was talking about doing it after he finished the Lord of the Rings series as some movies, but I think they reverted back to the author at this point. But anyway, it's pretty interesting stuff. And then TV shows, I'm kind of same as you. I've been making my way through all the Marvel Netflix series. I just finished Luke Cage. So,
which was excellent, by the way. It was a great
Yeah. Movie. Yeah, I think...
Are you looking forward to Loras Tyrell as the Iron Fist?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the one... That was part of the reason I was making it through all the series, was to kind of be in time for when Iron Fist came out, because I think that'll be interesting. And then I'm really interested to see them do the team-up series that they're going to do called The Defenders.
Right.
Which I think comes out later this year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but...
No, they're filming right now, so...
Yeah, it's good stuff. Luke Cage was good. I think Jessica Jones was probably my favorite one.
Jessica Jones was more cerebral than it was, and I say that as a pun because of the villain. It was more cerebral than the other ones. But I liked Luke Cage a lot because I liked the soundtrack to Luke Cage. It was amazing.
Good music on there that I've kind of, you know, during the episode I've stopped and, you know, punch it up on iTunes and found some good stuff on there. So, yeah, they're good shows. I kind of wish sometimes they had a little bit bigger of a budget, because for the longest time, Jessica Jones's superpower was basically that she could break locks.
And she could jump out of buildings you'd never see where she landed.
Right. And it you know, so sometimes they do feel a little bit, you know, 80s, ABC, you know, Saturday morning type shows, but...
That's because they gave all the good stuff to Daredevil and the Punisher. That's why.
Yeah, but they're all pretty good. So, anyways,
Isis, I know that you've got some great show recommendations because you and I have talked about this, and you have actually. Do you still do your old system of marking things down on Excel spreadsheets?
Yes, I still have an Excel spreadsheet that I use to track the TV shows that I watch. Yes, that is an actual thing. And if you want more information about that, I can send it to you. If you ask in the comments, I'll email you my Excel spreadsheet. But anyway, so this is the show that I'm really looking forward to is called The White Princess. It's going to be on Stars. It's going to be its season premiere will be in April. So it's actually taking over Outlander's spot that we were hoping for them to get. So Outlander is going to be moved down to September, and The White Princess is going to go ahead and take over. This is the follow-on show to The White Queen. Excellent, excellent series. If you get a chance to watch it, that one is also on Stars on Demand. You can actually watch that now. I wrote a whole article about it on Cultrist.com if you want to read it. But the White Princess is going to be excellent because you're going to see some Game of Thrones characters reappear in this show. And I think that that's going to be really, you know, attractive to Game of Thrones watchers who want to get their Game of Thrones fix. So
George R. R. Martin based a lot of his stuff on The War of the Roses as well. So there's some callbacks.
Yeah, and a lot of the, I think it's going to be really excellent. There are also books that go along with it. The writer is Gregory, Philippa Gregory. I could look it up right now, but I believe it's Philippa Gregory. You can look it up on cultures.com. I just wrote an article not a couple of days ago about it. And if you're looking for a book to read, I always go to Outlander. It's one of my favorite book series that I've read. There you can read a series of 8 books that are already out. So there's no, you know, R.R. Martin kind of thing going on. You got plenty of books in the cache to read there and everything. And a matter of fact, book 9, we're expecting, it hasn't been announced yet, but we're expecting it late next year. So I think that, you know, this would be the perfect time to go ahead and get through the Outlander book series.
Cool. All right. Well, Corey Thone, what are you into right now?
Well, we are currently burning through the West Wing as best as we can. Never seen it before. I guess if I had to recommend something, you can always, for pretty cheap, you can find the some Elmore Leonard stuff. You can find, like, I'm looking here at Amazon, you can get for your Kindle the 3-book collection of Pronto, Riding the Rap, and Fire in the Hole. They're 3 great books. Fire in the Hole's collection of short stories, More Than That. Inside those 3 kind of shorter novels and stories, you'll find the character of Raylan Givens.
Justified.
Who now, Elmore Leonard is an incredible writer. He wrote something like 50 or 45 books in his day. His short stories and books have inspired everything from 310 to Yuma to Get Shorty. So, and Jackie Brown. Like, he is outstanding. You can get on Amazon Prime. All the seasons of Justified are available. It is one of the few shows that I would say I might enjoy more than Game of Thrones, especially seasons 2 through 5 and then the final season. And, you know, it's a great show. You can get through it pretty quickly. It's each episode's 42 minutes because it was on TV with commercials and stuff. So go for that.
Awesome. Annie, wrap it up for us. What books would you suggest and what show are you watching?
The show I'm watching right now is Victoria, which is a historical sort of Victoria, the queen, and it's basically from the first season is her becoming queen and the beginning of her reign and marrying, the prince consort, Albert. It is fantastic. And it stars Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who. It stars some very, very sexy men who I would highly recommend watching. Albert, you know, he's a total hipster and he negs on her all the time. And I'm still madly in love with him. And next season, Diana Rigg has been cast as probably another Queen of Thrones type. A Queen of Thorns type. So I am very, very excited for season 2. So I highly recommend checking that out. The finale will be on PBS this coming Sunday, the 5th. And they'll be marathoning it beforehand over the weekend. So you can watch the entire thing. It's only like 7 episodes, 8 episodes. You can watch it in a day. Nice. As for books, I recommend N.K. Jemisin, The Fifth Season and The Obelisk Gate. Basically, this is a trilogy about the end of the world. And ooh, these people who are kind of like, they're kind of like wizards and witches, but they are, instead of being kind of like the people who run things, like if you think of Ranland and the Wheel of Time, like, you know, the Aes Sedai are, you know, kind of sort of they're the people behind the rulers and they're pulling the strings. In this case, these people are the oppressed people and they're the slaves. Ooh. And wow. And the protagonist is basically trying to hide who she is from people, and it's terrible. And the world is basically destroyed by her ex-gay lover, whose child she had. It's so dark and so dank and so good. And The first two books are so good, and the next book is going to come out, I believe, next year, because Jemison is not pulling a Martin. She also did the Inheritance Trilogy, which is another fantastic trilogy. I recommend basically anything she's written. So please do the fifth season in the Obelisk Gate. That's N.K. Jemison, and the series is, the actual trilogy series is called The Broken Earth.
Okay. I need to check that out. It sounds interesting.
Oh, it's so good. Like, when they destroy the world at the very beginning, like, I just, like, it, and it's one of those things where, like, I was actually reminded of The Wheel of Time, because in The Wheel of Time, you see the world ending, and then you jump. And it's kind of that same kind of feel where, like, this amazing, dramatic thing happens, and then you jump. And then you start to see the fallout happening all around in the rest of the world. And it's just, oh, it's so good.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this show. We've talked a lot about a lot of good things. So if you have comments, leave them in the comment section below this article after you listen to the podcast. Let us know what you want us to talk about in a couple of weeks when we come back on air. And we will mention you and answer your questions. So for myself, for Annie, for Isis, and for the two Coreys, this is Razor. You've been listening to Take the Black. Valar Morghulis.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.